right, guys, welcome to the 86th episode of the 443 podcast. I am Matt with Reese. We're in the studio. We just got done watching a game on a laptop, a TV, and an iPad.
The big three.
Mm-hmm. We're coming to you from Championship Sunday. Let's just do a quick overview of the table to kind of set the stage for the games. Liverpool was playing Crystal Palace. Liverpool is in first place. Arsenal was in second. They ended the week in second. Third place was City, and they still stayed third. Your boys, did they start the weekend fourth?
Newcastle started the weekend fourth.
Newcastle started the weekend fourth. Chelsea ends in fourth.
Yes.
And
Chelsea started the weekend in fifth, and that spot goes to Newcastle. Yes. So we're going to do a recap of the games, obviously. Yep. We might as well start with the games that don't really implicate much for the league, and then we'll get into sort of the top five games. So,
and keep in mind, guys, we both sat together. We both watched these games. We watched half of
Everton-Newcastle.
Half of Everton-Newcastle, then the other half of Manchester United, Aston Villa. Of course, Arsenal versus Southampton, because I have to see my team. And then Chelsea's Crystal Palace, or Chelsea's, Reese's Chelsea versus Forest.
There we go. Perfect. But let's jump right into it, guys, for a big final Sunday of football. We have Bournemouth at home beating Leicester 2-0 with Semenyo scoring in the 74th minute and the 88th minute. A strong finish to the Bournemouth season. We'll have to see how the points sort of end up, because there is possibility if Chelsea win midweek in the final of the Europa Conference League, Bournemouth could be sneaking into their first European spot in a while. So, big win for them. Any thoughts on this game, Matt?
Not really.
Leicester, we thank you guys for coming into the league, introducing...
Can't wait to see where Jamie Vardy goes.
Yep. But welcome Sunderland to the league as their replacement. Next up here, we have Ipswich at home losing to West Ham 3-1. Goals from Nathan Broadhead for Ipswich, and then James Ward-Prowse, Gerard Bowen, of course, and Mohamed Kudus for the big three to lock up the win.
I don't have anything to say on this than other than, man, West Ham got lucky. They placed a team that nobody... wanted to do anything, but Ipswich, thank you for your service.
Indeed. And looking at the lineup for Ipswich, it doesn't look like they put out their best squad, so it kind of looks like they're just sort of resting up for the championship next season, because it is going to be a grueler to get back in. And taking Ipswich's spot,
Burnley
will be Burnley. Welcome back, Burnley. Into the next game here, we have Liverpool at home drawing Palace 1-1. Ismaila Sarr within 10 minutes for Palace, and then Mo Salah in the 84th minute to certify his player of the season performance, and Gravenberch got sent off in the 68th minute. But big win or a big draw here. Salah did lock up player of the season.
We do have to mention the double guard of honor.
Indeed.
I call this Wank Fest 2025.
Yes, I was just wondering how that works. Like, one team walks out.
Yeah, one team walked out, and the other team assumed a guard of honor for the other team.
Gotcha. Interesting. Thank you, Trent Alexander-Arnold, for playing in the Premier League. We will see you at Real Madrid next season, my friend. Quick notes on some transfer.
Best of luck unless you play Arsenal.
Indeed.
And Chelsea.
Indeed. Just quick thing on transfer rumors. This one seems pretty locked up, but it looks like Florian Wirtz is going to be joining Liverpool, pending any crazy twists and turns in the saga, but... they're very close to a here we go there. So big addition to the midfield that was already outstanding.
Leaving
this season.
Ten Hogs, Bayer Leverkusen.
Yes, Bayer Leverkusen also recruited Eric Ten Hag to replace Xabi Alonso, who will be joining forces with Trent at Madrid. So into the next game here, guys. We have Spurs at home losing to Brighton 4-1. Back into the Premier League form. Solanke got a penalty,
locking up 17th place. Yeah. Tottenham Hotspur, congratulations on your trophy, Tom Holland. I hope you enjoyed the moment.
Indeed. Brighton again. We'll have to see sort of the points, how it all works out, but it looks like they'll be going to the Conference League along with maybe Forest, pending again finals or with Bournemouth. Into the next game here, we have Wolves drawing Brentford 1-1. Mbeumo scored in the 20-minute mark, and then we have Marshall Munetzi in the 75th minute to, honestly, for a bounce back season for Wolves, I felt like it was a successful second half of the season. They sacked their manager Lopetegui about halfway through the season.
Yeah, it was right at around December, right before the transfer window.
Yeah, a lot of relegation talk around that time for them, but they were able to climb and leapfrog Spurs, who finished 17th, Wolves finished 16th. So like I said, not a great season for Wolves, but they did look a lot better in the latter of the season. So they have something to look forward to.
Honestly, I think for Wolves, the way that them and West Ham started out, I think where they achieved was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an expectation when preseason because of the season both teams have had last year in West Ham's recruitment. But, I mean, honestly, after the start they had, I mean, 100%. They were lucky that there were three worst teams in the league.
100%. So for Brentford, this certifies that they get 10th place, so they're not going to be getting any sort of European spots. Is this the last game we may have seen of Thomas Frank, in your opinion?
I don't know where Frank would go, but I do believe that that man deserves a coaching job at a bigger team. I mean, even if it's something like a Marseille or...
Somebody with European.
I mean, actually, Rangers might be a down... I don't know where Rangers or Celtic would fit in. He deserves a big European job. Maybe Paris FC.
Yeah. They got to get to Europe first.
Yeah.
But credit to both teams. Again, credit to Wolves for a bounce back season. Matt, we'll jump over to your game since we're going in order of the importance here before we get into the top five matches. So we have Southampton at home losing to Arsenal 2-1. Goal from Ross Stewart in the 56th minute. Kieran Tierney opened the scoring in the 43rd minute, and Odegaard certified the win in the 89th minute.
So I don't have this up. Can you read that lineup? So David Raya and...
So we got
Declan Rice were the only like nailed on starters for the team.
Yes, we have David Raya. Tierney played left center back, according to ESPN. I don't think that's accurate, but
I thought he played wing.
Yeah, a little bit more of the wing
or position. left wing back.
So they have Tierney at left center back, Zinchenko at left back, Kivior at right center back, Ben White at right back, Partey and Rice for the midfield, and then a front four of Martinelli on the left, Marino up top, Ethan Nwaneri at the 10, and then Raz Sterling playing his last game for Arsenal. What a season Raz had for you guys.
I guarantee, dude, if they were in London, I guarantee you they would have shuttled him into a like an Econo van and just driven him back to Chelsea and thrown him out at Stamford Bridge.
Well, you guys are going to keep him beyond the summer, man? You guys don't want him? We'll give you 5 million to take him again.
To be a what? Then we have to pay the 350. Like, he'd be our most, like, tied with Kai Havertz, the Jersey most expensive player who generates nothing.
Oh, man. Chelsea won't have PSR issues this summer, it looks like, but they will have some issues letting go of some dead weight because it's going to be hard to leave a 350K weekly wage bill if you're Sterling. So, Matt, let's jump into the big games here. Let's start with...
It was a beautiful goal by Tierney. Let's finish that up. Yep. And it was good to see Odegaard get on the score sheet. And I'm just glad that they didn't lose Southampton 9-0 so we could have finished third in a two-horse race. Indeed. Or a one-horse race.
And, guys, we'll be touching on transfers throughout the summer, so we'll obviously be following Arsenal, who will have a very important window coming up. Hopefully it's some spending involved for you guys, just to sort of rejuvenate the squad.
They've already dropped 50 mil on Zubimendi.
That's right.
I mean, it's nothing compared to dropping 100 million on Verts, but still... I mean, a lot of teams were in for him, and they locked him up. So I consider that the starting out the transfer window with a win.
So it looks like it's going to be a Zubimendi Rice pairing with Partey more as an option for you guys.
I'm going to be honest for Thomas. I hope he leaves this summer. We need to go away from him. He's a little too injury prone for me and streaky. When he's great, he's great. He's like an abusive boyfriend. When he treats you great, he's great. When he doesn't, he doesn't.
You know, he had those allegations too. Man, you did poor bad. Timing there, man.
Sorry. I didn't mean it. It's like that coworker that is on a substance, and when the cocaine's in their system, they're great, but when their cocaine leaves their system, they're the worst person to work with.
Yeah, very antsy, aggressive, you know. Yeah. But Partey, I will say, I did see something that Arteta confirmed that he was staying and signing an extension. I don't think that's a bad option off the bench,
though. I just don't want to rely on him like we did this year.
I got you. That makes sense.
Is a backup... to kind of fill that Jorginho role in the team, not being a player coach, but just being a player.
Yeah.
I'm good with it, but I don't want him to be a starter next year. I want to be an option.
Are you maybe thinking they should get an additional midfield option, maybe even cheaper, obviously, than Zubimendi?
Well, I think if they bring in a striker that opens up Kai back to midfield Mourinho back to midfield, I think you'll have to get them to do what you want them to do, but I think that was where we're at.
Arsenal, you hear that? Grab a striker, free up the
others.
I would
rather have an addition to have an alternative to Odegaard than another midfielder. I think you got those two plus Rice plus Odegaard plus Partey plus Zuby, and I think that's it. And then whoever we get in a, unless it's going to be Enwari that fills these apprentices to Odegaard.
Any final thoughts on this game?
No, it was a nervy win, but it didn't really matter. As long as we kept it to within one or two goals, it didn't matter.
Yep. Credit to Arsenal. Into the next game here. This is the top five race that we'll be discussing, guys. Starting with the team that had the most percentage chance of qualifying for Champions League. Indeed. We have Fulham at home losing to City 2-0 with a goal from Gundogan, and Haaland scoring a penalty. Ironic. To make it 2-0 to certify their Champions League place. Obviously, guys, we weren't watching this game directly, but from what I saw, it looked like it was a comfortable City performance.
The only thing I saw was Pep touched the Fulham coach's head, and it made me feel uncomfortable.
It sucks getting sunned in broad daylight, dude. When you get sunned like that, do you get the head tap?
No, he did the finger to the side of the head like the Omni-Man, like, think!
Oh, like
think!
The lock-in thing?
Yeah, gotcha. Like, lock-in!
But again, they had the.
Oh, if it would have been a head pad, I would have been fine with it. Touching the head to the side, like that to me is like aggressive. I don't know if it's just a me thing.
He must have pissed him off. He can't piss off the quad.
It's patronizing to touch the top of the head, but the touch the side, it's like, come on. It's like Biff from Back to the Future.
I can't. Yeah, if someone did that to me, they're getting right hooked, dude.
Yeah, somebody did, they're getting the push.
But, yeah, again, they had the highest percentage to get into Champions League, so it was an overall comfortable City performance.
But we didn't see the context. He might have been saying something, and then he's like, you got to think about what you do.
So good. You did so, so good.
Any final thoughts on this match?
I thought it was inevitable.
Yeah, I agree. They won two of their last three finals, just didn't
the worst season City's had since Pep took over.
An FA Cup final.
FA Cup final, and they made it to the Champions League.
Well done to City, man. That's all you could say. But into the next game here, we have Newcastle at home losing to Everton 1-0.
Actually, maybe tie because his first season wasn't great the year Leicester won. I don't want to make sure I don't get fact-checked. Gotcha. I don't know, but it either is first or his worst or next to worst season he's had at the club.
Gotcha. Carlos Alcaraz for Everton getting the only goal in this game in the 65th minute. Matt, we were attentively watching this game and the Villa game very closely, and it got to a point when Everton went down, Villa was in a draw at 0-0. We'll get into the Villa game momentarily, and we're thinking...
Everton went ahead?
Yeah, sorry. Everton went ahead, and Villa's game was still in a draw, so we're thinking Villa might be looking here at a Champions League spot just off a point. But again, we'll get into them shortly, but this was not a Newcastle team that we were used to seeing.
Yeah.
They got... Watching the first half in particular, they got overran by David Moyes' side, little to no possession, and based off the stats of the second half, it looked a little bit similar, maybe a little bit more possession.
This was a weird game to watch because when you watch two teams where one has everything on the line and one has nothing on the line, I mean, there's £100 million on the line, and Newcastle came out looking like they didn't give a crap. We had this game on the iPad, the smallest screen, and it just looked like every time we look over, one of us look over and every team would just be bossing them. And it didn't make any sense. Like if I was playing for £100 million and the other team was playing for nothing, I'm not a professional athlete, but I would certainly not let them boss me around like Everton did.
I'm throwing the kitchen sink, Matt. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. But despite that, they still qualified for the Champions League. And ultimately, you know, between Villa and Newcastle, Newcastle had more success in the league, obviously, just by winning by a point. Mm-hmm. But we talked about this pre-recording that Villa was successful in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. They showed a lot of promise to the end their season as well in the league. We felt like Villa probably deserved it a little bit more. But
before we get into Villa, they have a coach who's won the Europa League the most times of any manager.
Yep.
I think they will do okay in this competition considering nobody's dropping down. 100%. If Unai is able to stay, he's able to get... some players he likes, get those PSR issues sorted out. I think we'll see Villa in Champions League next year, and Unai will lift his like 6th or 7th Europa League.
Indeed. Just on Newcastle, if they did not make the Champions League, do you think they would have ran into a possible PSR issue where they would have been forced to sell Isaac at a cut price?
No, not a cut price. They're getting 100 to 115 for him no matter what.
Gotcha.
They want 150 is the rumor.
match him. Credit to Newcastle. Good luck getting Alexander Isak.
Which I think if Coutinho went for $150 million back a couple years ago, I think that's an unreasonable price thing to ask for Isak.
Not at all. Into the next game here, guys. As we were alluding to, we have Manchester United at home, finally getting a win over a decent team, beating Aston Villa 2-0. A goal from Ahmad in the 76th minute, a penalty from Eriksen in the 87th minute, and a red card from Emiliano Martinez right at the halftime mark going into the half. You couldn't have picked a worse time to get a red card. As your coach starts to think about what he needs to game plan for the second half, you watch your number one goalkeeper just straight hockey body check Højlund.
Shoulder check.
Yeah, and meanwhile, they're like 50 yards outside of the box, mm-hmm. too. Like, there was no reason for him to make that sort of tackle in that area.
But let me say my point here. We talked about how Newcastle didn't look like a team that had $100 million on the line. Villa looked like a team that knew $100 million was on the line, and they were nervous, and they messed it up.
Now, the drama with the red card, there was no drama there. It was a certified red. The drama happens in the second half, a few minutes before Ahmad's goal in the 76th minute. I think it was around the 70th minute. Morgan Rogers is on a breakaway, and the ball rolls to the United goalkeeper. He gets his hand on it, but he does not have full possession. As you see, he doesn't, like, he like almost lets go of the ball completely. Morgan Rogers
rolls over his leg.
Yep, Morgan Rogers kicks the ball away from him and has an easy tap-in. The foul was called before he took a shot on Morgan Rogers going the other way to United. VAR reviews it. The call stands. If I am a Villa fan, I am
livid.
Yes, I feel robbed if I am a Villa fan, because that certifies you $100 million.
I'm putting another hole in Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I'm stealing a seat.
Yeah, I mean, that was... in terms of dead... what is it? Deadline? Championship Sunday games. That was one of the worst calls I think I've ever seen on a final Sunday before. And that's just been a summary of the Premier League this season. They've looked like they've gotten better over the last couple weeks.
Reaction to offsides has helped.
Yeah, for sure. The semi-automated, that's right. I forgot they added that. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Oddly enough, they added in like February. It wasn't even over the January break, so we went away and
Yeah. So, and obviously this caused Emery to just go absolutely ballistic.
It wasn't a good evening.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll be saying that in the conference. But Matt, just give me your thoughts on that occasion, from what you saw from the rest of the game from there.
So my thoughts on Villa are a little like funky, because it seems like recently them and Newcastle have decided that there are rivals, and that, like, it's like that meme with Batman, Lego Batman, where like the Joker's like, "I'm your greatest villain," and Batman is just like, "What? No, you're not my greatest." Like, Unai the Brain Heenan and Emi the Andre the Giant Martinez have been thorns in Arsenal's side for the last couple of years now, trying to come take from us things. But I still like Emi. I loved seeing Emi everywhere when I was in Argentina, man. I think he's a great player. I don't think I'd want him as my starting keeper because he's a little too emotional, but not in the way like Ramsdale's emotional. He's just a little too, like, and we saw
he's more on like the Bruno Fernandes timing, just something to piss off the other fans, does certain things that just tick you off and sometimes can cost him for it, like we saw today.
And we saw today, his emotions cost him. When he gets rattled, he gets rattled. And but I do want the best for him, man. And this isn't the best. He got his first red card ever, and it sucks. I feel bad for him.
Yeah. So,
sorry. Red card in the Premier League.
There's possibility with PSR issues for Villa now, because they missed out on a lot of money. We were talking pre-recording that there is possibility Martinez may have to be sold for them to stay within limits, because they've spent a lot of money over the last two windows. They spent quite a bit in January and in the summer.
He was part of that. They paid like $25 million for him. It was the start of that PSR cycle.
Yep. Now they sold Duran for, you know, 70-something. So, you know, they should have a little bit of wiggle room, but you need to sell Martinez to pretty much certify.
Or sell Ollie Watkins. That's how I hope Arsenal get. Yeah. You know, if we can't get Isak, I want Ollie.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good addition as well. But, yeah, this was a...
Ollie, I think is his name. Ollie Watkins.
So I guess we'll talk about United really quickly just while we're on the topic. By the way, guys, Tottenham did win the Europa League final. Congratulations to to Tottenham.
Congratulations, Tom Holland.
Yes, yes, indeed. Deserved win. But so United's now finished 16th place. Sorry, let me double check. 15th place. They went up a spot. No trophies, no Europe next season. If you're a United boss, let's say you're Amorim, what do you do with this team in the summer? What do you do with this? What is your focus moving forward next season with this group?
So it depends on the transfer window. There's rumors going around that everyone's up for sale. There's people getting like fired from the club. I honestly look at it this way. If I'm Amorim, I'm going to try and bring in some solid wingbacks because he plays a back five. That's all I'm going to ask for, and I'm going to see what I have, and my goal is to not get relegated. My goal is to allow the club's revenue and stuff to fix the issues and try in 2 years to mount a challenge for European competition.
Just some insight on post-press conference stuff from Amorim. I'm going to say this, and I quote, I want to apologize for this season. I am really disappointed with the team. Secondly, I want to say thank you. We are very grateful for your support over the season. I know it was very hard to, you know, in those games, yada, yada, yada. Now we have to make a choice. Do we get stuck in the past because the season's in the past? It is over. 6 months ago, I said the storm is coming. Today and after this disaster season, I want to tell you that good days are coming. There's one club in the world that has proved in the past they can overcome any situation or disaster. It is our club. It is Manchester United Football Club. We will see you next season. So, seems like he does have a little bit of hope, you know, for next season, just kind of based off what I'm reading. But I appreciate that he's at least recognizing that this was by far one of the worst United teams we've ever seen. And the lineup that they put out.
The last relegation, I think, is the worst team since they came back into the first division.
Yeah, and even then, like, for the Europa League final, just really quickly, like, fans
I mean, imagine if Brentford and Brighton had been in this promotion class instead of Ipswich and Southampton. They could have easily gone down.
100%. And, you know, going back to the final, Amorim's team that he even put out, a lot of United fans weren't happy with it. So it feels like both the players have to do some self-reflection. Thank you. Along with Amorim. So it's going to be an interesting summer for United. I'm very eager to see how they look next season. But credit to them for getting at least a win to go home with something.
We're doing your game next?
Into the very last game, we have Nottingham Forest at home, losing to Chelsea 1-0 from a goal from Levi Colwill in the 50th minute. Heartbreaker for Forest, just because they were this close, you know, to making top four, which would have been a leaps and bounds for them in terms of PSR.
You know what's sad, though? There's two teams that should be rooting for you to win, your team boys to win on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's Brighton and Forest.
Indeed.
Because if they win, that extra Europa Conference League spot goes to you guys.
Indeed. So,
because of them.
This was a, I wouldn't say an entertaining game.
It was nerve-wracking, man. Yeah, it was hard to watch because Chelsea just, like you said, did not look like themselves in the first half.
Yeah, it looked like two teams that were very cautious of one another. One not trying to particularly do too much. They both just kind of went their coordinated route. So, honestly, I don't have much on this game. From what we've seen, this Chelsea team in the first half has been an issue when Nico Jackson's not playing. It looked like that today, but then again, Enzo Maresca makes some sort of halftime adjustment, and they look like a regular team again. So Enzo Maresca deserves full credit of what he's done for Chelsea this season. Any fan that talks about Pochettino, if I hear Pochettino one more time, I'm going to break my leg. So
let's just go see some of his national team.
Seriously, dude. What are we doing here?
But hey, I think we discussed the goals. I don't know if this was on the podcast because it's been a long season, but you said getting Champions League and winning the Europa Conference are your goals. Yep. You've achieved half of them now.
If they're able to get that Conference League, I mean, this is quite literally a successful season.
And it's nice that one of the teams that got that fifth spot gets to enjoy having the five spots.
100%. And to be honest, going to my predictions, I had Chelsea fifth this season, not making Champions League. So the fact that they were able to get fourth, certified Champions League without needing that fifth spot, even more credit.
Because the fifth spot's the playoff now, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. And that unfortunately goes to Newcastle, where they have to go back into Champions League, where they're so disastrous, and they have to do the play-in, right?
Indeed. It's going to be a bloodbath for Newcastle, man, next season. And I'm wondering how they're going to spend their money. I think they'll only bring in one or two signings. I don't think they're going to change too much because Eddie Howe is still there, and I don't think he's the guy to get them over the hump. I've been saying this for the last two seasons. It's very interesting to see what Newcastle do as well. But that is all the games for the recap there.
You know what's funny? I think a manager that would have suited their system just went to Germany. Erik ten Hag.
Mr. Ten Hag?
Yeah.
I like it, yeah. Physical team, a little counterattack in action. I could see it.
But, yeah, man. So I've watched Chelsea this season, but I haven't watched them like dead on sitting on the couch as much because it's a game that doesn't really affect me unless it's Arsenal-Chelsea. And Arsenal-Chelsea is just a different game. Like, you guys smoke bath salts before and just give us a good run every time. Like, this, you're right. It's like he only has one good period. The team can only play one good half.
Yeah.
And he has to, like, put them on minimum power and hopes they don't lose, and then kicks them up to maximum power.
Yeah. And it's only when we don't have a legitimate striker in the lineup. When they have a striker in their lineup, they're able to sustain it for about 60 to 70 minutes, but still have that patch where they look like a relegation team.
But they look like proper championship champions.
Yeah, guys, I was saying if I was a goalkeeper, I'd be a Brexit goalkeeper as an American, and I mean that proper. But Matt, I got to stop.
So for people who don't understand Brexit, Brexit means that a proper Brexit, he would play like Brexit, but he would not be a Brexit keeper. Because a Brexit keeper has to come from one of the four dominions of the UK. That's Britain, Northern Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
Hey, you can't. I actually am Welsh, so I would still hold that. I'm a Puerto Rican Welsh man.
I mean, I'm British. The double L, the one L Lloyd comes from the Britain side. The double L comes from the Welsh side.
There you go. But Matt, I got one stoppage time for you. Just overall, as an Arsenal fan, who was your favorite player of the season for Arsenal this season?
So my favorite player this season was Benny Blanco
back in your head, man.
Yeah, Declan Rice. But you said this to me earlier, and I have thought William Saliba is the player of the year. Declan was my favorite player because Saliba was just a solid 9 out of 10 the entire year. Mm-hmm. Declan would jump to 10 out of 10 every now and be a solid 8.
Rice had
8 out of 10, playing the 8 position.
Rice had some huge moments in the season, like the most memorable moments of the season as well. I think back to the first half of the season, we had a 90th minute winner against was it Wolves? I think it was Wolves or someone like that. And then you jump to the Champions League, obviously, where he has 2 free kicks against Real Madrid, like. You don't replicate those types of things. So,
he had the comeback against Luton last year at the Luton's ground. I mean, like he's a memories player. Saliba is the I'm gonna give you a 9 out of 10 every damn game. I'm gonna carry you to the places, but you're gonna forget I'm there unless I mess up.
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, when Arsenal's fully healthy, Gabby gets a lot of attention because he's scoring headers at least once every other game. But Saliba's just a consistent defensive force, man. So it's a good time to be an Arsenal fan, man.
Even I got a stoppage time for you. I know I said one, but let's preview the Conference League. Do you think you can stand up to Xerxes the GOAT? Xerxes is a not Babylonian, Persian emperor who's famous from the movie 300.
Not Joshua Zerke from United.
Shirtless, just covered in gold paint, wearing the golden goat horns.
Doing the Randy Orton celebration.
Yeah, doing the Randy Orton celebration. Gold everywhere. Beautiful women of Betis throwing themselves at him.
Yeah, I don't know. If it depends on which Chelsea team comes out again. If they play their full strength team, I think Chelsea can win. It's going to be a fun final. I think it will be a better watch than versus than the United Spurs game, because pretty much Spurs scored and then just kicked back and just played defense.
I sent you this. I was checking out. I was watching the scores, guys. I couldn't watch the game. I wouldn't watch the game. I'm not going to use my time on the workday to watch that. I'm sorry. Spurs won with 30% possession against Man United.
Yep. No, like literally once they scored, they just tucked in their coattails and just hung in.
What's funny is, so we do have to, I do want to bring something up though, just because we're talking about it. Last year we were mad at Ange because of the performance he put in against Chelsea. I was mad against Ange because he wouldn't adapt to win the game. Well, guess what? The mother hugger adapted to win the game. It took him 2 years.
Yeah. Hey, when it comes to a final, man, you got to pull out all the stops, but, and by the way, guys, Ange did say season 3 is better than season 2. So I'm very eager to see how Spurs perform next season.
So I did the only way I think they can do it, Because I don't think they're going to win the Champions League. They have to win the two domestic cups.
Yeah.
And finish in Champions League spots.
100%. They just win the Champions League and the league at the same time. Can you imagine a Spurs double?
I'm going to be honest. If Spurs win the double, I'm just walking out Dunlap Avenue.
And not just a domestic double. We're talking Champions League and Prem
if
double.
If Spurs win that, I may commit. You're going to have to have me on suicide watch.
It'd be a tough year for Arsenal fans.
Oh, no, me personally, if they do that, you're going to have to watch out for me, man. You're going to have to put me for the entire summer.
I'll be your caretaker. I'll just visit you on a daily basis. But I guess for my prediction for the Chelsea Betis game, I'm going to go with a 2-1 Chelsea win. I do think it's a close game. And I think it's going to be an enjoyable watch.
What do you think scores? Cole Palmer scores one. Anthony scores the one for Betis. And Nico Jackson scores the winner.
I think Nico gets on the score sheet, and I think we're going to give the second goal to Mr. Neto, Pedro Neto, and then we will have, of course, an Anthony Belter, to make things scary. He's going to score from, half field. And then
I'm going to be honest with you, I am going to watch it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it while I work. Unfortunately, I can't take my time off, but it's going to be a fun game. But, Matt...
We're 30 minutes. You want to discuss anything else? Because it's an odd pod.
I got you guys. So,
off the business on the pod, I do think we should record next week, but I think we should take the week after the Champions League final and the Europa Conference League final. Take it off. We'll probably do the next one. Yeah, give us a holiday. Let's put our feet up, go to the beach.
And guys, we'll still be with you all summer outside of for that 1 week. Yeah. We're going to be covering the Club World Cup. National team games as well.
That's right, because we have to cover the Club World Cup.
It's now an important trophy all of a sudden.
If you win it, it fixes all your PSR problems.
$1 billion.
It's like if you make the founding team of the Pets League and sell it to yourself.
I will tell you though, it's a must win for Barcelona, because Barcelona's in that as well, I believe. That'll be huge for all their finances.
It's going to be terrifying if Real Madrid or City win it, because both those teams would then open up a shit ton of money for the second wave of the transfer window. It would erase all the money that City spent.
100%.
Like, how terrifying would it be this Real Madrid team that's just plucking people on the end of their contracts? Goes, hey, we got like $500 million. Let's go.
They just further
just go buy.
Just recreate the Galacticos.
They could just buy all of Arsenal except for like Kai Havertz and Saka. It's just them out front.
Just give me a spitballer. Who's your prediction to win the Club World Cup? Just anybody. Throw a dart at the bullet. Not the bullets, man. Throw a dart at the dartboard.
And then the club from Auckland, New Zealand.
There you go. Okay.
That feels amateurs.
All right. Respect. I'm going to go with Barcelona. Like I said, I think they're going to put out a try-hard lineup. I think they need financial help. I think United would benefit from being in this tournament, too. I got Barcelona winning it.
You know, actually... And depending on what happens this upcoming Saturday, I know Inter's in it.
Inter, yeah, true.
I would want Inter to win it, even if they don't win.
And they've had some financial issues as well, so this would obviously go a long way for them.
I would want Inter to win it. Okay. That's who I'd want to win, even though I think I might be a Napoli boy. Shout out to my dog, Scott Tominay.
But guys, we'll see you next weekend for maybe a transfer review, Champions League review, and going forward, like I said, we'll be covering transfer rumors as well as the Club World Cup and any sort of nation game, because I think USA is playing some games. They got the Gold Cup, I think, this summer. Yeah. So,
can I say the coach's name? I know you said you didn't want to say his name.
You could say his name.
Yeah, I want to see how Pochettino does in the Gold Cup.
You fucking bitch. No.
Wow. I asked. I'm not saying he should go back to Chelsea. I was just saying he literally has another job. Like,
so there is what's good. We'll actually get to see how good Pochettino is, because Pulisic's not coming to the Gold Cup because he wants to take a rest for the summer because of his season at Milan. So we'll see how legit this Pochettino dude is in the Nation League format. Carlo Ancelotti, I believe, is going to be announced as the Brazil manager soon. So that's going to be exciting as well.
Fabrizio, they gave him a guard of honor at Real Madrid. I think he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone, but I don't know if Brazil's announced him yet, but everyone knows he's gone.
Yeah, 100%. But guys, that'll wrap up our pod for today. Big episode. Congratulations to Liverpool again for winning the league. Thank you to the teams who came to the Premier League and are going back down: Sunderland, Burnley, and
Leeds.
Leeds, thank you. Leeds, go fuck yourselves. We'll see you guys next season. Matt, close us out, my friend.
live long and watch some football, and Tottenham fans, enjoy burning down your section of North London. Have a great week.